Welcome to Tip TV Finance. I'm here with my co-host Mike Ingram, strategist at BGC Partners, and with our occasional guest, Paul Wallace, who's from the London Traders Network. How are you today, Paul?
I'm very well, thank you, Zach. Very well.
Every time I see you, I think of drinking.
Well, you know, that's nice. I would drive you to drink, dear Zach. Well, you know, there's worse things you could. There's worse abuse you could throw at me.
Only because I want to give a plug to this. There's the tonight is the meeting of your.
It is. It is the London Traders Network social event this evening in sort of the cellar bar of the New Moon on Grace Church Street. So it's just open to traders of any amount of background or experience. Just come along, have a beer and a chat.
I'll be there in the gutter outside.
We'll be expecting you, Zach.
Right. Okay. We've got a very interesting presentation here. More headwinds for Europe. Somebody's struggling there.
Well, you know, I thought that, you know, as always, Zach, when I come in here, right, I try and talk about something a little bit different. More often than not, just to help rise you from your chart-induced coma by this stage of the morning.
Self-induced coma.
All right, yeah, self-induced coma. So, you know, I appreciate probably everybody's talking about, of course, Sterling and FTSE and Theresa May, but actually I want to talk about something a little bit different, all right?
Okay.
Now, I know we've talked about Europe in the past, and it's one of my little bugbears, but today what I wanted to talk about, if we go on to the next slide a little differently, was actually, you know, I've talked about it in the past, these kind of the four horsemen of analysis, and, you know, I see it, in fact, at my traders' drinks, all the technical guys and all the fundamental guys will all be stood in separate corners, slinging mud at each other, but today, I wanted to talk a little bit about the geopolitical side of it, and it was driven by this sort of tweet that I saw yesterday, which is on the, it's on the next slide, which was... came up from sort of the Guido Fawkes blog there, and it's talking about the EU facing a funding and it's a sort of a cliff edge in its funding. All right, so there's a quote there: excluding Germany, Britain's contribution is more than the total net contribution of the 26 other EU states combined.
That's very nice of us. You know, we know that it's a generous, kind
it is.
Country.
It is.
We're the giving people, our giving nation.
Well, you know, it kind of. I mean, those numbers, of course, can be spun anywhere you particularly wish. I think actually the net contribution is a bit less than that myself. However, the kind of the point I want to get across is that...
And we can spend that money on the NHS, though. That's the good
that's
thing.
That's what they've claimed, isn't it? I'll believe that when I see it. God knows it needs it. But I think the point I wanted to make is that whether it's like 12 billion or 9 billion, 8 billion, it is still a fair-sized chunk of change that is actually going to have to be found from the other European nations.
So you bring in new ones, though, you know, Turkey and, you know, Ukraine and...
Russia.
Yeah, we shall see. Yeah, I think the Russians coming into you will be on the back of T-90 tanks, which is what we're about to, which is what we're about to touch upon. But you know, of course, half of my time is spent living in Ireland, and Ireland has gone from effectively being a net benefactor to now a net contributor. Mm. In the sort of, you know, it's now paying in about 1.6 in 2006, and they reckon it'll be about 2.5 billion by 2021, and that doesn't include the additional fees that are going to have to come in from you know the sort of the removal of the UK contribution. So invariably, you know, there's a fair chunk of change that's going to need to be found from those other European nations. So it's no wonder that they're all kicking up a fuss about the UK leaving. And that sort of leads me on to my my next point, because whilst there's also that, you know, we also have you know a little bit of a handbags at dawn from Trump and Merkel over the last week. You know, a little bit about the comments he's made. You know, all of the traders will have noticed that the comments he's made on Twitter regarding certain organisations. You know, he was on there talking about BMW. You know, if they build a plant in Mexico, I think he's going to hit them with 35% tariffs, etc. Mm. So he's just swinging the thing. But he's also made comments about NATO, and that's the thing I want to sort of talk about.
But a lot of this was in his election campaign, wasn't it? In terms of following a, shall we say, more restrictive trade policy. Obviously, at the time, it was directed more at China and
yep.
Mexico. But it was very clear that he was not totally in favour of free trade, at least as we know it. And equally, I mean, these NATO comments go way back into 2016. And,
yep.
and for me, one of the great features of this mark over the past few months is the markets managed to edit out all the potentially bad stuff associated with the Trump presidency, and just focused on the good stuff. And you're going, well, hang on, isn't it? You are by definition being extremely selective. You're pricing accordingly. Mm-hmm. what if he actually means what he says?
Yeah.
And, you know, we are two days away from his
They were thinking he was like a politician who never means what he said. I think that's
well,
he's
that's
actually
it.
Not a politician.
He's not a politician.
So
he's a deal maker.
That's why he was elected.
Yeah, and that's what he was. And I think, you know, the point he talks about, and this is actually one issue I do agree with him, is that, you know, his point is, well, why should America be spending, you know, their lives and their money and their energy defending Europe when, in fact, the Europeans aren't paying for it themselves? Yeah. We have at the moment Atlantic Resolve going on, which is, I think, the largest deployment of US troops into Europe since the end of the Cold War.
Yeah.
And it's based around this. If you look at this, I think I read somewhere that 90% of NATO's funding comes from 6% of its members. And in 2014 NATO summit, all of the nations signed up to effectively making a 2% GDP contribution to NATO. And as you can actually see, there's only a few of us doing that. And you look at like Germany only has only been paying about 1%, 1.2%. So on this particular point, I actually agree with Trump. You know, why should he be spending so much when, in fact, when his European neighbours or his supposed European allies refuse to stump up the cash? So we're going to have a period of, effectively, you know, Europeans going to have to stump up more cash for Britain leaving the European Union, and also, you know, Trump sort of swinging his handbag regarding requiring extra additional contribution from Europe towards NATO.
Of course, that's been flipped on its head by many within the European Union, hasn't it? To say, well, it's the reason why we need to coordinate more within Europe, basically because we're not spending very much money on a nation by nation basis.
Well, that kind of leads me on to my next slide. Thank you very much,
Mike. Thank you. See what I did there.
So there you go. So invariably, you know, what we had was comments from Juncker et al. You know, there will be no European Union army, right? And then invariably, straight after the Brexit result was announced, we get a nice little photo op of Renzi, Merkel, and Hollande there on the Italian aircraft carrier, the Garibaldi, talking about more Europe, talking about tighter sort of defence and security contributions from the European allies. So, you know, we've already seen...
Quite telling that two of them are already in the bin. I mean,
well, that's it, isn't it? That's it, you know. And
possibly three.
And we'll see by the end of the year, you know, whether the other third one will be out and stuff.
It's quite comical, these people on the side.
Well, that's it. It's typical European Union. It's all kind of style over substance, really. It's
well, like a Benetton advert.
Yeah, exactly. It's very strange.
It is, you know, and it's about as scary as an asthmatic dachshund with a limp. That's, you know, the French, the Germans, the Italians. If I was a Polish cavalry commander up on the border with Russia, I wouldn't exactly be filled with confidence that these three nations are behind me all the way to come to my particular support.
But some of them are way behind you.
Yeah, way behind you. Yeah. And that's one of the other things that, you know, May was sort of trying to leverage yesterday in her commentary about, okay, it's not only the money, but actually in terms of the security, the intelligence, and it might be said a bit of backbone as well, is actually that's what the Britain brings to the European allies, and that's the thing we have to consider. So, yeah, there just to finish off, as I said at the start, London Traders Network. Some people will have seen what I've said there and will disagree completely, and they'd be more than welcome to come along this evening and disagree with my notions about, you know, the sort of headwinds for Europe. But we're in the cellar bar of the New Moon pub this evening, Gracechurch Street. And if not tonight, the next one will be 15th of March.
Thank you to Paul Wallace from the London Traders Network.